is titled Facing Your Pain. Okay, Facing Your Pain. And it's from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. What Joseph said to his brothers who really hurt him very much. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended all for good. And God's people said, amen. This sermon was again inspired by one of my favorite preacher, Rick Warren, from his series, How God Can Use Pain for My Good. You know, how God can use my pain for my good. You know, it was just, whatever inspired me, I took here and there's pieces here and there from that sermon. You know, again, we in this world filled with pain, you and I can't run away from it. This world's filled with pain. But the good news, in a world filled with pain, God draws near to you to use pain to transform you, right? To transform you. The devil is the opposite. The devil uses pain to hinder you, to lie to you, to keep you in bondage, you know, to cause division, to make you bitter, and maybe even to isolate you. And in your pain, and this is my encouragement to you, in your pain, you need to let God in. Okay? You need to let God touch your pain so that you could discern the lies from the truth, so that you can walk out the healing, so that you can be transformed by God. You know, there's many different kinds of pain in this world. There's the physical pain, there's emotional pain, there's mental, relational, there's financial pain. It might be a painful memory, it might be a painful loss. Sometimes even truth is painful. You know, sometimes God will show, will touch an area of my life. It's a weakness, it's a flaw, and it's painful. And you should feel pain, because when I feel that kind of pain, it motivates me to change. It motivates me to transform. But devil wants to use your pain to hinder you, but God uses pain to transform you. And God uses pain to transform you. You know, when you let God touch your pain, God doesn't hinder you. In the beginning, what happens is pain, when you let God touch your pain, pain becomes a warning light that something is wrong. Right? And that's the grace of God about pain. It becomes a warning light that something is wrong. You know, pain becomes a blessing in disguise. For example, you have a fever, right? And that's pain, fever. And that fever could warn you of an infection that needs to be, is warning you of an infection that needs to be dealt with. It is a pain that can alert you to a life-threatening illness. You know, Joseph, for 40 years, Joseph faced intense pain. You know, for 40 years, it seems like everything was going wrong in his life. He faced abuse and abandonment from his family. He faced great injustice, was falsely accused of rape. He was thrown in prison for no reason. And he was painfully mistreated for 40 years, year after year after year. But in the midst of that 40 years, okay, God was guarding Joseph. God was healing Joseph. God was guiding him, growing him in the midst of the pain. And because God was with him in the midst of the pain, God was preparing Joseph for greatness. That's what God was doing with Joseph. He was preparing Joseph for greatness. Right? Not through a school, but in pain. In pain. Genesis 50:20, you know, the main text, he's talking to his brothers who brought on his pain and sold him to slavery. And And what he's saying is looking back at all that has happened to him, this is what he's saying about the pain that he experienced. You intended to harm me, but God intended all for good. Okay? God intended all for good. See, when you walk out pain and healing, not alone, but with God, you're able to overcome in a broken world. Okay? You are able to overcome in a very painful world. Joseph overcame his greatest pain, not alone, but with God. He overcame the pain that was caused from his family, the pain that was in the Potiphar's house, and in prison. And how do I know that he overcame those pain with God? Right? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says God was with Joseph, you know, in Genesis 39, verse 2. And God was with Joseph that others around him saw that God was with Joseph in that verse 3. You know, so this is what gave him the heart to forgive his brother who abused him. It prepared him to, okay, because he overcame 40 years of pain with God. In the midst of that 40 years, Joseph saved his family. God used Joseph to save his family. Right? Because there was a great famine, and God used Joseph to save his family. But not just his family, saved millions of people from starvation, because this famine was so great, it touched many nations for many years. Right? And God also used Joseph for his great redemptive purpose. Because Joseph saved his family, and his brother Judah was one of the family members. Judah and his family were saved. And if you know the Bible, Judah is in the line where eventually Jesus was going to be born. Jesus was to be born. You know, what I learned about God as I walk with him in my personal pain, and this is what I learned about God. You are a priority. Say that to your neighbor. Okay? You are a priority. You know, but when we, human being, when we're in the pain, different things are a priority. It's more about position, maybe, a title, achievement. But we don't really care about what's going on inside of us. Okay? Or we're too scared to look what's going on inside of us. And what the Bible says is, God cares not what's going on outside of the cup, but what's inside of the cup. And God says that's what's important, what's going on inside of the cup. I was thinking about the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, and I realized something as I was preparing this sermon, because I counsel many different kinds of people, and, you know, I counsel you in here, but also outside of this church, I counseled in the past other pastors. Okay? I counsel other elders and leaders of other churches. I counsel other Christians, right? And some of them, I'm going to be very honest, when I'm counseling them, this is what I see. They're like Pharisees. I'm just being honest. You know, they're like Pharisees. You know, they're controlling, very sensitive, okay? There's a lot of selfish ambition. They blame shift very easily. They're very legalistic in how they do ministry. And as I counsel them, as I look back, I realize something. When I counsel them, you know what that is? They carry a lot of pain. Okay? A lot of pain. Almost all of them, they have undealt with pain from their past. And they don't want to deal with it. They just want a big church. They want thousands of people in the church. But they refuse to deal with their pain, what's going on inside. You know, but this is very dangerous because the Pharisee in the time of Jesus did not care about what was happening inside of them. You know, they rather hid their pain with titles and rituals. They did not let God in. Instead, their pain, they dealt with it alone. And this is very dangerous because when I look at the Pharisees and study the Pharisees and study other people and study myself, look at myself, when you try to deal with pain yourself, okay, the pain turns into bitterness. It turns into resentment. You see that in the Pharisee, jealousy, a lot of jealousy, a lot of envy. It turns to lust. It turns into selfish ambition. And this is a great problem because when the Pharisees saw the Son of God, Jesus, they said Jesus was the son of Beelzebul. Beelzebul is another name for the devil. So when they saw Jesus, the Son of God, the true Son of God, they said, "You are the son of the devil." And they refused to worship Jesus. Not only refused to worship Jesus, they plotted to kill Jesus. When you look at the people of God that came out of Egypt, this is it's more like now I'm seeing the wilderness journey. Okay? This is how I'm seeing the wilderness journey. They're coming out of Egypt and going through the wilderness is learning how to walk in freedom, to walk in healing. And the wilderness journey, but it's not a walk alone by yourself to be healed, to be set free. It's the wilderness journey is God's invitation to walk out healing with him. Right? With him. You know, and can you imagine God's people, what they faced in Egypt? They were abused. They were carrying a lot of pain. And when they were in the wilderness, they had to face what was going on inside of them. The wilderness was a trial. Okay? And this is the biggest test of the trial. Are you going to walk this out alone in your own understanding, your way? Or are you going to walk this out with God? And if you look at the book of Exodus, they chose to walk it out alone. They vented a lot. They complained. They grumbled. They lost heart. They lacked faith. They became fearful. They became hopeless. They fought and argued with one another. They set up an idol, a golden calf, and they were stuck in the wilderness. My challenge, Catalyst, my brothers and sisters, let's keep moving forward in the wilderness journey. Right? This is a challenge. Okay? Let's face our pain. Not alone, but let's face our pain with God. Okay? With God. And this is the truth I want to encourage you with to hold on to. This is the truth that I hold on to when I face my pain. This is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Right? This passage I use not to believe, oh, I'm going to have a big church. This passage encourages me when I look at my brokenness, when I look at the rejection, when I look at the abuse, when I look at my failure, when I look at my weaknesses. You need this truth. I need this truth. You have to put your faith in this promise to move forward in the wilderness. Right? The Lord your God hasn't forgotten you. The Lord your God is with you. And I want to You need to know this. God is not punishing you. Say that to your neighbor. See, there's a difference between punishment and correction. God doesn't punish you, but God does correct you. Okay? Punishment is a penalty for the past. Correction is a training for the future. Okay? Did you guys hear that? Okay, write it down. I don't know. I thought it was good. Okay, it wasn't for me, though. That was Rick Horner. Okay? I really like that. Punishment is a penalty for the past. Correction is training for the future. God doesn't punish his children. Why? Because of the gospel message. Jesus has already taken all of the punishment for every sin on the cross. Okay? And if Jesus took all our punishment, paid the penalty for our sin, and yet still God punishes you, you know what this is called? This is called double jeopardy. If you're a lawyer, you know what that means. It's called double jeopardy. So even a secular court understand that's not good. That's not right. Okay? Jesus paid the, and as a Christian, every sin you ever committed has already been paid for. Okay? And so God doesn't punish you. God doesn't punish me as a Christian, but God does correct us. And many times, the way he corrects us, he uses the pain to draw us to him, to so that you encounter his comfort, to heal, to restore, and to redeem. And in your wilderness journey, again, Jeremiah 29 says, you're not going through this hard time, this painful time. That past pain is being brought up to tempt you, to make you hopeless. It's not to depress you. It's not to make you angry and bitter or to confuse you. It's not to confuse you. It says, it's plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, God's people said. You know, but again, human tendency in our wilderness is to, run away from it, mask it, medicate it, find distraction, or find someone to blame. Catalyst, my brothers and sister, we're going through this healing together, and we are all at a different place in this healing with God. And in the beginning, healing with God, God is with us. Okay? God is with us. And what he will do, he will identify the pain. Okay? It's like, again, I say it's a signal, right? It's like you're driving and you think everything's okay and your engine light comes on. Okay? It's a signal that something is wrong. And when that happens, many do the wrong thing. Instead of identifying the brokenness, the pain, we tend to suppress it. And when we suppress it, if you fall into self-hatred, or we project it. And then what you will do, you will hurt others. You suppress it, self-hatred. You project it, you hate others, okay? But you don't deal with the pain. You're running away from the pain. If you are here at this stage, okay, and it's scary, okay? You don't want to face it, but I want to encourage you, okay? With God, face it. Identify it. I want to encourage you. God is not done with you, okay? God is with you. Don't give up. Don't be afraid of the pain. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his timing. Right? This is a very important step in healing. Right? But God doesn't just help you identify the pain, you know. Again, God's plan is to heal, redeem, restore, and to empower you. And so some of you are in this stage in walking out the healing. You identified it, okay, with the Lord. And you need to kind of release, you need to release it, so you have to become vulnerable. Right? You have to overcome the shame of it. So you become vulnerable and you start sharing the pain with, like in your life group, with somebody that you trust. And you start to release that pain. Right? And what I learned in my personal walk in healing with God, you know, you identify your past brokenness, and then you become vulnerable, you share, okay? You release the pain, you release the shame, but it's not the end of the healing, okay? We're all at different places, okay? And I want to encourage you, don't stop. Don't stop. Because this, you're doing that, you need to get to the next stage. If you're stuck in that stage, what happens is, okay, you become vulnerable, you share your pain with others, with somebody that you trust. Later on, if you don't go to the next stage, it just becomes a lot of venting. Right? You just vent. Right? But you need to get to the next stage. Right? And the next stage is that pain is there because somebody hurt you. Okay? Somebody rejected you. Somebody shamed you. Somebody bullied you or neglected you or abused you. And this is a difficult stage. You need, you know, that pain is mixed with a lot of offense. Right? That you're releasing the pain, but the pain, the offense that you carry is going to be revealed. And this is very hard. You need to walk out releasing that offense to God. In other words, you need to walk out forgiveness. Okay, in life group, if you are just venting about your mom or your mother-in-law and your spouse, right, and it's been 2 years, you know, it just keeps, no, it's not just about that. You're hurt. You've been rejected. Okay, you've been neglected. You have to walk out forgiveness. And this is not easy, because what does it mean to walk out forgiveness? You have to overcome with the Lord the judgment that you carry, the bitterness, the resentment, the ungodly anger. And that's not easy. You know? And what I notice about walking out healing, you know, with the Lord in the wilderness journey, you see that, and, you know, with the God's people in the book of Exodus, every phase of the wilderness journey, when it got hard, guess what God's people said? Let's go back to Egypt. That's what they said. Let's go back to Egypt. Right? And so what that shows me, even with the Lord, and he knows this, walking out healing is not easy. Okay? It's not easy. And that's why I want to encourage you with this passage that was placed in my heart. Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, I taught this verse many times, especially at renewal and for seminar on bitterness. That's what I focused on when I taught on this passage. Get rid of bitter root, okay? Get rid of the judgment, okay? Don't get rid of that anger. And that's what I focused on for many years for this passage. But you know what it says, the first thing it says in this verse? I didn't focus on that much. But what I realized as I walk out healing, that's the most important part of walking out the healing. It says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. No one. This is so important. No one. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. For me, when I was teaching on and or walking out my own personal pain, I focus on not being bitter. Not being bitter. But this passage, as I was preparing this, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And I look back at my journey with the Lord and my walking out the healing from pain. I look at my issue with my biological father, And I look back, what helped me with the depression, that was triggered because of my biological father, the hopelessness, the bitterness, the emptiness, the loss. And what I realized, what helped me, was the grace of God. Was the grace of God. God loving me. God being with me. God telling me again and again, you're not an orphan. God telling me, I will be your father, and you are my son. It was the grace of God. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Not the lies, not the rejection. Don't fall short of the grace of God. And as you are walking out your healing with God, as you face your pain, there is grace. There is God's grace. And God's people said, worship team.